Why did the members of the free speech movement have to resort to the tactic of the sit-in in Sproul Hall at the beginning of this month, which originally led to the arrests? Who would like to answer that? Stephen?
Yes, well, as has been pointed out and as I've mentioned before, this tactic was finally decided on because of the main fact that the students felt that they had absolutely no voice. They had not been listened to, and they had been completely rejected by the administration.
We had tried negotiations, discussions, petitions, every possible way. We had gone to committees, we had done everything that we could, and by the point of December, there was nothing left for us. There was really no recourse.
Well, I think it's very important that the public understands the immediate reasons why we use the tactic of sitting in Sproul Hall. I don't know if they remember, but during the Thanksgiving Day weekend, the administration sent out 4 letters to the leaders of the FSM, bringing them up for disciplinary action before a committee appointed by the chancellor for charges that went back all the way to October 2nd, which was now about a month before. And the thing to note here is that the Hayman Committee, which had been appointed earlier to consider disciplinary action against the students, had recommended that they be suspended for 6 weeks, and that be all. The regents had then taken action and suspended the leaders for 6 weeks, and now they were going to be back in school, and everyone thought, all the students thought, that the controversy was over, that no further disciplinary action would be taken against the students. And then all of a sudden, over Thanksgiving, they send out these 4 letters that they're going to take new disciplinary action. And even the faculty was very upset with this. They could not help but think that the students thought that they had been tricked. And Professor May of the History Department had said that he had spoken with the faculty, and he continually argued. He said, why don't send out these letters? That's a stupid thing to do. So when these letters went out, the students were very upset, and they felt that they had to save their leaders. I mean, they were taking action against the leaders, and also, besides the leaders, they were going to take disciplinary action against all the organizations, political organizations, that had been involved in the protest over the last 2 months. This would have meant that the students would have lost all their rights as organizations on campus, so that we felt we had nothing left for us to do. Now, of course, there are still questions as to whether it might have been a last resort, and people might say, but still, we don't like the tactics you use. And I think it's very important that you understand why we use those very tactics.
Well, I think that the tactics, I don't want to be defensive about the tactics that we use. There does come a point when every other legitimate means has been exhausted, when we can no longer respect the law and order which are supporting bad rules, rules which deny our very constitutional rights. I think that all of us remember, in our generation, that it was an undue respect for law and order that led to what happened in Nazi Germany. And an undue respect for law and order would also have led many people to refrain from participating in the sit-ins in the South, and particularly in Mississippi, which eventually led to the legislation of 1964, the Civil Rights Bill. And I think that it's very important to understand that what we are doing is pushing for new precedents, which will change the established law and order, because the law at this point is unjust and undemocratic.
You've given me a wonderful briefing on this situation, and I know that the radio audience has learned a lot from our discussion today.